Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And I was doing a little online search during the station identification regarding Thomas's comments. And I did find the story about the bombing of the maternity hospital in Serbia. And apparently it was one of the biggest maternity hospitals in the area. So they really ranked up the score on that one. But I also stumbled across this other situation back during the Iraq War. The U.S. Blew up a Red Crescent maternity hospital in Baghdad. And I don't know what the U.S. thought it was attacking, but apparently what they hit was the maternity hospital, the Baghdad Trade Center complex, and things housing the pharmacist and teachers' unions. And one of the problems that we know the military have is they'll go out and pick targets and they'll say, well, we're pretty well convinced this is where they're hiding the weapons of mass destruction. And they blow it up, and it turns out, oh, well, we'll just try again. We'll keep bombing until we hit something of value. I'm sorry, but I'm sure those little children were of value to somebody. If you've never seen the movie The Green Zone, you need to. It is probably the only time Hollywood has dared question the dogma of the Iraq War. And the point of view of this movie is a soldier who's involved in the search for the weapons of mass destruction, and he comes to understand they never existed. It was just a big lie to sell the war. All wars based on deception. Sun Tzu, The Art of War. All right. Now, the Syrian government is saying that Damascus is back under their control, that they've expelled the mercenary armies. The mercenary armies are responding by saying, well, we got Aleppo, and that's what counts. And we're not even sure about that. We do know that, I mean, if you looked at the Twitter channels for Syria and Aleppo, they're being flooded with tons and tons of propaganda saying, the Syria's bad, Assad is bad, we've got to go in and kill him. Same stuff that we saw with Libya, same stuff that we saw with Iraq. It's the same game plan over and over and over again. We, the United States of America, have a moral right to go into another country and kill a whole bunch of people because their government doesn't run their business the way we think they ought to. In other words, to the benefit of American corporations. And this is exactly how the Nazis got going. Going into countries saying, oh, we've got to attack them before they attack us. We have a historic traditional right to the Sudetenland. The Polish people are attacking our radio stations. On and on and on. And this development that Russia and China are now positioning warships to interdict an invasion of Syria is a warning sign. Russia and China have played appeasement for long enough. They understand appeasement will not work, that the U.S. will go on attacking Israel's enemies, and it's a futile case. Israel makes enemies faster than the U.S. can kill them. And so I think we're about to come up to the final confrontation between the U.S., Russia, and China in a mutually destructive war, which, by the way, Israel's perfectly okay with. Because if the United States and Russia and China blow each other up, then Israel, with its nuclear arsenal, will be in charge of the Mideast oil, which puts them economically in charge of pretty much the whole world. Because they don't have to worry about competition from the U.S. economy or the Chinese economy or the Russian economy. Do you think for one second the Israeli leadership would regret those three nations vanishing from the world stage? By way of deception, thou shalt conquer. We're going to take a break for commercials. Join us on the air. 800-313-9443. It's getting lonely. I need callers. We'll be right back.
Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, meg, Vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. HerbalHealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed. But you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendovite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Here we got a caller on the line, Mike in Maryland. Aloha. Mike, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to get your input or get your opinion on what do you make. I stopped following the Olympics when they went professional. My desire to watch it just went away completely. But I've been seeing on the news how many of these events, there's huge swaths of empty seats at the major events. How do you account for people, you know, for the dearth of people going to the Olympics? Do you have any?
Well, a lot of people wanted to go to the Olympics, but those large blocks of seats were reserved for VIP, and they became sort of political chips to hand out to people who were, helping to build the Olympic venues or favored political cronies. And somehow the VIPs just decided they didn't want to show up. Remember, the day before the opening ceremony, they were doing a simulation of getting people in and out of there and through that shopping mall that was built next to it. And it just turned out to be this huge jam. People were waiting for hours and hours. So a lot of people have just said it's a lot more convenient to sit at home and watch these things on TV. And I agree there should have been a mechanism for these seats that weren't going to be used to be made available to the general public. The other possibility, of course, is that I'm not the only one who is worried about a false flag attack on the Olympic venues by either the United States or Israel in order to escalate the war into Iran. And these VIPs just decided, I think I'm going to stay home. You know, my TV set's not going to explode in my face as I'm watching whatever's going on.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. I didn't realize about the blocks of tickets sold to VIPs not being utilized. But I was thinking, too, I mean, who the heck wants to go to what is ostensibly supposed to be a fun event? And the Brits have basically created an armed camp. That's one aspect. And
that's,
I think,
that's a valid concern. I mean, they're at the point right now where people wearing T-shirts from competitors to the Olympic sponsors are being told to take the T-shirts off and, you know, quick, go buy a new one over there. I mean, it's completely out of control.
And I think if we know that there's a potential for false flag event, then you have to realize that the VIPs and the higher-ups may be, catching some kind of, drift that something like that could happen, and they don't know when it could happen, so why throw caution to the wind, too?
Yeah, that's probably, another one of the factors. But I think, you know, you hit it right on the head. The games have become so commercialized and so propagandized and politicized. It isn't what they were, you know, a while back when it was still amateur athletics. And, there wasn't a lot of national prestige. We've already had a doping scandal. They're making a big deal out of this wrestler's, headscarf. And it really is. It's just become a forum for everybody to vent their petty differences. And it really has destroyed the games. And, I was actually involved in the Los Angeles Olympics in a very minor level. And it was just so crazy there. I actually got tickets to one of the events. I didn't show up. I don't want to deal with the crowds and the driving. And, especially with all the body groping and scanning, getting in and getting out.
Somebody
I remember the last time.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was something wrong with the phone.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's my housemate. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. So the last time my wife and I tried to go to Disneyland, we were visiting family in Southern California. And we said, Disneyland, we haven't been there in a couple of years. And we show up and they're going through the purses and they're groping and fondling us. And we just looked at each other and said, this can't be the Disneyland we remember. And we turn around and left. We never went in through the front gate. And I think probably more and more people are feeling exactly the same thing. And I think if you look at all those vast swaths of empty seats, you might want to say that maybe the security got just a little bit overbearing and people just got turned off by it.
I used to enjoy watching the Olympics, rooting for the Americans, because I knew they were the underdogs, because they weren't being, subsidized by communist and socialist countries like Russia and China, and they weren't pseudo-professionals in most European countries. The Americans were fighting an uphill battle, and even if they didn't get the gold or even the silver, I knew that their effort somehow was sweeter, was meant more,
Back then, when you were rooting for the American athletes, they were American athletes. These days, there's this huge problem where countries will go out and recruit the best athletes they can and make them instant citizens so they can say, this is the American team. And Britain's gone completely overboard. And at that point, the whole national identity issue has been rendered moot. And it has become such, it's an allowable, acceptable fraud, but it is a fraud. And it really has. I don't watch the Olympics either. My favorite event would be the fencing, because that was, the sport that I had when I was in college. I was on the varsity fencing and archery teams. But it's, and by the way, some of that equipment that Japanese archers have, oh, man, talk about state of the art. Had nothing like that when I was in college. But I digress.
Well, yeah, I like watching the sports that I participated in high school, like track and field and wrestling. And I just lost all interest. Well, thanks a lot. I just wanted to get your input. You take it easy.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Yeah, I know a lot of people are upset by all those empty seats, and it's a lot of people who wanted to get into the Olympics and were told there are no tickets. I know the scalpers were getting something like £2,000 for a ticket to the opening events, and people get turned away at the gate, and then on TV they're seeing all these empty seats. And there should have been a mechanism to where if your reserve seats are not filled, 30 minutes before whatever, open them up and let other people in there. But again, I think probably a lot of people got turned off by the groping and the scanning. And I'm going to basically theorize that as the games continue, that we're going to see less and less people in the actual stands. They're going to stay home and they're going to watch it on TV because it's comfortable. They don't have to have their crotch groped by a total stranger. And it's a lot more comfortable. The restroom's right there. The refrigerator's right there. And you don't have to worry if you're wearing a T-shirt that offends some corporate sponsor. All righty, we got another caller on the line. Bill in Texas, aloha. Bill, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I just had a couple of quick questions about the moon.
Okay.
About 20-some years ago, I worked on a satellite that was for the Department of Defense. I was going to do some high-resolution, low-altitude mapping of the moon. And I heard a story about it in the New York Times. It didn't say much, so I could actually mention it now because it's been public information. But do you know if any of that's ever been released? And what do you think the main reason why the Soviets never made it to the moon, other than the fact that they had those minor disasters?
That was basically it. I mean, they had a moon, a lunar spacecraft was already built. But once the U.S. beat them to it, the political desire to continue funding it basically fell apart, and the Russian space program basically focused on space station building and planetary exploration. And, you know, we talk a lot about Viking and landing on Mars, and technically we weren't the first. The Russians beat us there. Unfortunately, their spacecraft, it did successfully land on Mars, and it sent about 15 seconds worth of data before it failed, which it's got to be crushing heartbreak for those people behind the mission. The Russians have been extraordinarily successful on Venus, getting landers down to the surface there, and that is a very, very hostile environment. We know the Russians, you know, had Mir up there for a lot of years. The Russians had their own space shuttle, looked very much like the American version. They did orbit it once. But they basically ran out of money. But, you know, for a long time, the space race in both countries was fueled by that competition, that idea, you know, we were going to get there before anybody else. And as a matter of fact, the Russians, you know, they had a lot of firsts. They were the first ones to see the backside of the moon. And they did a lot of really good work out there. They were the first ones to have a remote-controlled rover on another world, because one of their unmanned missions to the moon was driven across the surface by remote control and TV cameras. So they did a lot of really, really cool stuff here. But once the Russians, once the Americans landed on the moon, the funding for both space programs got cut. The last two Apollo missions were canceled, and everybody said, okay, we beat the Russians to the moon. Now we've got to go off and fight the Vietnam War.
And then my last question is, it's probably a technical reason. Did we ever turn the Hubble onto the moon to really get some nice shots? Or just were the ones when we were there were just so much better resolution?
Well, the Hubble, of course, is in Earth orbit, and its ability to see details on the moon is very limited. I think it wasn't turned onto the moon because the moon would be so bright it would damage the sensors. Hubble
was
really intended to be a deep sky object telescope, and even on Earth-bound telescopes, big ones like we had the Keck down here on Mauna Kea, in its early days, they would do things like have it project the moon on a cardboard, but they had to cover the actual electronic sensors because they could be damaged by it. Now, these days with newer sensors, it's not the problem that it used to be. But I remember when I worked at the Table Mountain Observatory, we had to be so careful of those photomultiplier tubes. You know, if somebody opened a door anywhere, you know, when they were running, they would immediately blow out. So it's not as bad as it used to be. But that was probably the major reason why they didn't bother looking at the moon with Hubble. Plus, we already had all the lunar orbiter data, and Hubble couldn't see that clearly. So, yeah, Hubble was really a deep sky object telescope.
There was always a rumor that the Soviets made it to the moon, but they died after they got there. And I just don't ever remember hearing any of that on the news.
No, the Russians did not have a manned mission to the moon. They had built one, but it was canceled when Apollo got there. There were disturbing rumors about Russian cosmonauts who were sent into orbit before Yuri Gagarin, who were abandoned there when their spaceship couldn't return. You know, we know back then the Soviet Union was covering up their accidents. It's been confirmed they had a pure oxygen cabin fire, and they simply erased the cosmonaut from all the photos and all the books and never admitted to it. So who knows what happened back then? It's something for archivists to do. We got to take a break.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added two 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost, and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And got a lot more news. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Israeli news is reporting that the Syrian army has attacked the convoy of the UN mission chief. This is Lieutenant General Babacar Gaye, head of the United Nations Observer Mission in Syria, was attacked by government forces. And if you buy that one, I have some of Saddam's weapons of mass destruction to sell you. Okay? Why would the government of Syria do something that stupid? When Syria has all of these captured foreign mercenaries to show the UN, when Syria has all these mercenaries they captured crossing the Turkish border, they want the UN there. Who doesn't want the UN there? That's who attacked the convoy in Syrian uniforms. Classic false flag attack. Assad is many things. He is not stupid. So, news from Syria. As I mentioned before, the Dutch photographer Joren Oerlemans was held hostage for a week by these so-called rebels. And now that he's released, he's basically saying they were all speaking English, some with British accents. These are not Syrian people. Apparently, Syria has cleared two Aleppo districts of the hired mercenaries. Turkey is sending a new convoy to the Syrian border filled with all sorts of things for the mercenaries to do bad stuff with. Saudi Arabia pressuring Jordan to help the Syrian mercenaries. Qatar and Saudi Arabia set up a command center to aid the mercenaries. Western media exaggerates chemical weapons in Syria, on and on and on and on. This is a classic covert overthrow, only it's not very covert. We know what's going on, just like a few years ago when they were trying to do Iran. And we busted them for being a covert attempted overthrow. This is what the CIA has done for decades. Go in, cause a bunch of trouble, call it a popular uprising, overthrow the government, put in a U.S. puppet. So, let's see, looking at more stuff. Over here in the Pacific, three more U.S. attack submarines, a squadron of 12 of the aging B-52 bombers, 5,000 Marines, and missile defense system are going to be deployed to Guam. This shows a continuing buildup in advance of a new Pacific war, probably with China. Proxy cause, the Spratly Island. Real cause, wiping out the U.S. government debt held by China. We don't have to pay you back. We're at war. Now, the U.S. initiative to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on construction projects in Afghanistan, which was sold to you, the taxpayer, as a vital tool in the military campaign against the Taliban, is running so far behind schedule and has cost so much more than the original planned budgets, it's not going to yield any benefits before the combat troops have left the country. In other words, it was a complete waste of money. Complete waste of your money. It's just another way to loot the people by the money junkies here. Let's see. Best of friends, CIA considers Israel one of its biggest spy threats. We've covered this many, many times before, where, you know, Israel's supposed to be this good friend of the United States, the only friend we have in the Middle East there. And yet they're one of the biggest threats to the United States in the intelligence game. Remember, just the weeks before 9/11, the FBI stumbled on the biggest foreign spy ring in U.S. history being run by Israel. And the way they found it, it's very interesting. There were drug smugglers who were dealing in ecstasy, which is something that's manufactured a lot in Israel. And the drug enforcement kept closing in on these ecstasy smugglers. And then at the last second, the ecstasy smugglers somehow would know the cops were onto them, and they changed their plans, changed their meat. They were always evading. And on investigation, it was found out that the company that does phone billing processing for American phone companies, Amdocs, an Israeli-owned company, was a front for spying on the communications of the police forces. So anytime the police department were sending messages or traffic back and forth concerning the drug smugglers, it was going through Amdocs and winding up in the hands of the drug smugglers. That investigation led to another company owned by Israelis, subsidized by the Israeli government, called Converse Infosys, that had the contract to install all of the telephone monitoring and tracking equipment in the United States. In the old days, if they wanted to tap your phone, they'd go to the phone company with little wires and alligator clips, and they'd attach onto your phone line, and they would listen to what you were saying. With the new system provided by Israel, sold to us by Israel, any law enforcement officer anywhere in the country can tap into a computer keyboard and listen to any phone call he wants to. It's built into the system right now. And Israel left a back door so that they could use the same system to spy on Americans. We're going to take a break for these commercials. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival?
then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter-acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed. All just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141. 785-672-3141. Or go online to ColoradoRiverLots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We got a caller on the line, Bob in California. Aloha, Bob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard you speaking about the moon landing, and I know that you're well informed, and I wonder, could you tell me where the moon capsule is stored or stationed or on display?
You mean the command modules, because that's the only part that actually came back to Earth, with the exception of the lunar module for Apollo 13, which was dumped into the Pacific Ocean. But they know the radioactive fuel pellet for the ALSEP is not leaking. It was in its own special container with its own heat shield to guard against that. So that remains safe. But as far as the command modules, they're in various museums all over America. I don't actually have the list. I know one of them's in the Air and Space Museum at the Smithsonian. As far as where the others are, I don't know if the Cosmodrome in Kansas City has one.
Well, clarify for me. I understood there was only one trip to the moon.
No, there were several trips to the moon, including starting with Apollo 8. And then Apollo 9 was in Earth orbit.
I thought they made the one trip where they planted the flags, and then they came back.
No, there was Apollo 8 orbited the moon, then Apollo 10 experimented with the Lemon lunar orbit but did not land, and there was Apollo 11, which was the first landing. Apollo 12, then Apollo 13, of course, had the onboard explosion, then the rest of the Apollos after that. But there were a total of six landing sites on the moon, and five of the flags are still standing.
Well, you're really very knowledgeable. I appreciate that. So then you're telling me that there's six lunar modules that actually landed on the moon and did return to the Earth, and they are on display.
No, the lunar modules did not return to the Earth. They were crashed after they got the astronauts back to the command service modules. The lunar module ascent stage was crashed back into the moon so it didn't clutter up the lunar orbit. The only lunar module that went to the moon that came back to the Earth was the one on Apollo 13, and they crashed that one into the Pacific Ocean.
Well, weren't there the men on board?
No, not when they cut it loose. The men were back in the command module and landed back on Earth safely. It was probably, you know, NASA's finest moment in getting those men back. I mean, if you look at the damage that they had on that service module, it was just absolutely amazing. And, you know, Gene Kranz, of course, became famous for shouting at the controllers, "Failure is not an option." And it was our most successful failure.
Well, you certainly are knowledgeable. I was under the impression that they flew up to the moon, landed, placed the flags, and then came back. But they came back to the space module. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. The only part of the Apollo that returned to Earth intentionally and safely was the command module. And it brought back all the moon rocks and all the other data that they collected.
And that was the one that went in. That's not the one that went into the ocean.
No, that was Apollo 13, but that was the lunar module that crashed in the ocean, and the command module returned safely, Jim Lovell, and so forth and so on. Anyway, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. It is a fascinating chapter in America's history, and I think most people look back on that as a time, possibly even the last time, that we felt really proud about our nation and what we could do if we put our mind to it. And I remember when Apollo 8 went around the moon. And there was a little bit of a swap because the original plan was Apollo 8 was going to take the lunar module into Earth orbit and fly it around, and then Apollo 9 was going to go to the moon. But because of delays on the LEM, Apollo 8 got to go out to the moon, and there was that famous photo of the Earth rise in the distance, and they came back. And it was very inspiring, and they got a telegram from Charles Lindbergh, who was still alive at that time. And they got a telegram from this woman who basically, after looking at everything that had gone wrong that year, other than Apollo, all the wars and the protests and the demonstrations, basically said Apollo 8 saved the year. That was definitely true. And we look back on that time, especially those of us who were part of the space program. We look back on that as, you know, we know what our nation can do if we have the will to do it. And where did we go wrong? Where did we decide that our interests were best served constantly attacking Israel's enemies and turning our back on our own science and our own technology and our own children in order to placate a foreign power? Where did we all go wrong? I know what we can do. I'm crossing my fingers and wishing the very, very best for Curiosity. I have a personal stake in that, obviously. But, you know, I really do think it is worth the expense to go to Mars and to go to the moon and go out into the galaxy, not just because of the things that we can learn, but because of that technological fallout. The race to the moon and all of the problems that had to be solved to get there provided a bonanza of new technologies that were the root cause of the tech boom of the 1970s and 1980s and into the 1990s. And we need another one. Bad government policy has allowed our manufacturing and our industry to flow to other nations. And they now hold the lead in manufacturing these products that were developed on technologies spawned by the Apollo moon race. We're never going to get those leads back. Those foreign governments aren't going to be as stupid as the U.S. government was. They're not going to allow those leads to come back here. We have to leapfrog forward. We have to come up with the next new technology, the next new material, the next new energy source, the next breakthrough in computing, whether it's photonics or something we haven't even thought of yet. We need to do that. And going back out into space, having that will, the investment to do that, is what will spawn the new tech boom that will allow the United States to become a major player in world commerce again. Unfortunately, our government thought it was best to borrow $100 trillion to bail Wall Street out of their criminality. And again, when you think of what could have been accomplished with all of that money to build a better future for us all, not just in the United States of America, but for the entire planet. And instead, it's sitting in some banker's pocket, or it's on his wrist with a $100,000 wristwatch, or they're driving around in a $2 million car, or they're building themselves a bigger mansion to their imperishable glory. What a waste. What an absolute waste. It's like Columbus coming to the New World, and then he goes back, and the governments of Europe saying, we don't need to go there again. Nothing but a bunch of smelly natives running around. We don't need to do that. Talk about short-sightedness. We were reaching for the stars, and we decided it was better to put our fellow human being under the earth. What a waste. What an absolute waste. All righty, let's see. Getting back to the story, best of friends, CIA considers Israel one of its biggest spy threats. Israeli spies are running all over this country. They're in the phone system. They're in the voting system, as far as we know. They're selling artwork to all the offices, and every time one of them gets arrested, the U.S. government has to let them go. Remember the AIPAC spy scandal. The American part of that spy operation got 12 years. And the two Israelis got a get-out-of-jail-free card. Just like the guy running this human trafficking ring. They had three guilty pleas. They had confessions. And the Justice Department says, we're not sure we can do anything. We're going to let him go. Our government is owned by a foreign power. And you need to understand and accept that before deciding what is the next thing to do. I don't want our next generation of children to have no jobs, no opportunities, nothing to look forward to other than serving as sold mercenaries into the service of a foreign government. Because that's what our government is doing. Every time they take a campaign contribution from AIPAC and agree to commit to war on Israel's enemies, and Romney's already out there saying, yes, we have to go into Iran. He is selling your children as slaves into the service of a foreign government. That's what he's doing. So you all need to look into a mirror and ask yourself, what is the price for the life of your child? If you're a parent, or if you're a young newlywed and your spouse is in the military, you have to look in the mirror and say, what price tag you will put on the life of your loved one? How much is it enough for you to say, yeah, take him and kill him? Because that is a question our members of Congress and the White House ask every single day. And the answer is, yeah, you know, I'll trade, you know, a couple of thousand lives of young Americans for another campaign donation from AIPAC. I'll send us into another war on Israel's enemies just so long as Israel won't tell the world who really did 9/11, because it will be an embarrassment. Meanwhile, we're hearing that Iran, after seeing what happened with the Russian cargo ship trying to take Syria's helicopters back to Syria, was blocked at sea when the insurance carriers refused coverage. And so Iran, in order to prevent foreign insurance carriers from canceling the coverage on Iran's oil tankers, which reasonably may be shot at by the United States, so Iran is setting up their own consortium to provide insurance cover for all the oil tankers carrying Iran's oil for exports. So they're going to head off that particular machination. Let's see. Reuters is reporting that over in Tokyo, the protesters who are against the restart of Japan's nuclear reactors have broken through barriers. They're outside Parliament's gates, and the police are having to use armored vehicles to hold them at bay. That's how intense it's getting over there. Going to take another phone call. Jim in Oklahoma. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good day to you, Mike. First, thank you for everything you've ever done. I've learned so much from you. My question, sir, is lunar cycles and dates that come to false flag events. We've got a full moon coming up on Tuesday, and it's 8-3, which adds up to 11. I'll stop there because I've taught with Mr. Rentz, Jeff Rentz, and he's taught me a lot on stuff like that. So your take, sir, and thank you again for everything you've ever done for us. Thank you, sir.
All right, well, thank you very much. As far as I'm aware, the only time the lunar cycle has any bearing on an attack is if it's going to be done with stealth aircraft, and obviously they prefer to do that when it's a new moon, because radar invisible or not, under the light of a full moon, you can see the planes. And if a fighter gets their eyes on the plane, they will shoot it down, stealth or no. That's what happened in Kosovo. So that's the only impact that we have on that. As far as the false flag, there, I know some of these plotters of the false flags, they get caught up in symbolism, which is why 9/11 happened on 9/11. Emergency and all the rest of it. But it's all theater, and we don't really know when these attacks are going to happen. They may grab a moment of opportunity. They're certainly going to go for the maximum amount of emotional impact. And I still think the closing ceremonies of the Olympics are a prime target, because then all the airports are going to get jammed up and you're going to have all these people who can't get home who were planning on going home the next day. Hopefully we'll get them to back down by making them doubt that their cover story will be believed. And I'm sure the government is already aware they face a credibility crisis unprecedented in the history of the United States of America. And it's a credibility crisis of their own making, starting with, well, Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. That was the watershed moment when skepticism of the official story went from being a minority opinion to being the majority view of Americans. Getting back over to Japan, apparently the Fukushima reactors are still releasing radioactive gas. Radiation is leaking into the groundwater. The event is not over. And Ted Gunderson is saying he thinks they're at the point where they're just going to cover it over with concrete and say they'll come back to it in 300 years. It's a huge, huge mess. And the bad news is those General Electric reactors, which failed to live up to their expectations regarding safety during a quake, and we know they failed before the tsunami showed up. We don't know if Stuxnet had anything to do with it. But there are 23 identical models of that reactor here in the United States of America, and they're all getting older. Now, Oakland is going to court. They are suing Goldman Sachs in an effort to stave off the bankruptcy that is looming over their city. They want to go back to Goldman Sachs for all the money they lost investing in these fraudulent mortgage-backed securities, credit default swaps, and all the other stuff Goldman Sachs has been peddling as God's work over the last several years. So good luck to Oakland, and I hope they win the lawsuit, because it's time for somebody to go after these bankers and these money junkies and take back some of the ill-gotten gains to repair the damage that's been done to our country. Remember, Goldman Sachs pulled a fast one with California as a whole. Goldman Sachs was hired, paid money by the state of California to sell California bonds. Then Goldman Sachs turns around to their own investors and says, these are going to fail, so buy credit default swaps from us that will pay off when California's bonds default, which is ultimately what happened. Let's see. U.S. Army orders riot gear as the buildup for civil unrest and eventual martial law. And again, the U.S. government is preparing for the old-style revolution of people in the streets screaming and hanging government officials and tarring and feathering. And, you know, I'm not saying these things don't have a place. They are traditional after all. But the heart of this revolution is taking place here in cyberspace. It's a virtual revolution. It's being fought with keyboards, not guns and bullets. Hopefully we can keep it that way. The U.S. government is preparing for the old-style revolution, and if they're spending this much time and money preparing for violence in the streets, then we can count on the government to try and cause as much violence in the streets as necessary to justify a military crackdown on the American people. Just like they're doing in Syria, send in paid troublemakers, cause violence, claim it's a revolution, and respond accordingly. We're hearing that the Anaheim police are engaging in massive police brutality against the Anaheim protesters who are protesting against the police brutality. I guess the model is, we are not brutal. We are not brutal. Beep, 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 beep. Taser, 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 taser. There is no police brutality in Anaheim, and anybody who says there is will have their arms broken. So, let's see. Up in Toronto, Canada, kind of a weird story. It's following hard on the heels of this story where this Canadian family were ordered to stop growing their own food on their own land. Apparently, in the city of Toronto, there are these two volunteers, Sticky Cattle and Blue Jays Curse, have worked cleaning up the Fergie Brown Park for free. They just go in and clean it up. They clean up the weeds. They drain the pools of standing water, which is good because you don't have mosquitoes. And they just maintain the cricket patch all on their own as a volunteer. They've even won awards for making this park look nice. And the city's parks department has ordered them to stop doing it. Because after all, that's the city's job to do. Well, the city isn't doing it. That's entirely beside the point. You can't go out and take care of your own public property by yourself. You must be dependent on the government to do it, even if the government isn't doing it. We'll be back after these commercials.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Working two jobs ends never seen to me. She often goes hungry so her babies can't eat. Fatherless son wears torn clothes to school. We're making fun of him's the only golden rule. She doesn't know she's a favorite daughter. If someone wants to help her,
and hello. Oh, hi, America. Welcome back to the show. Last segment of our show today. I got an email from a listener. The Cosmosphere, not the Cosmodrome. The Cosmosphere is in Hutchinson, Kansas, not in Kansas City. They do have one of the command modules there. I got the complete list during the break here. The Apollo 6 command module is in Fernbank Science Center, Atlanta, Georgia. Apollo 7's command module, Frontiers of Flight Museum in Dallas. Apollo 8 is in the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry. Apollo 9 is in the San Diego Aerospace Museum. Apollo 10 is in the Science Museum of London, England. And apparently that lunar module is still in heliocentric orbit, so it's out there. Maybe someday they'll go out and grab it and bring it back. The Apollo 11 command module is at the National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. And Apollo 12 command module, Virginia Air and Space Center. Apollo 13's command module is at the Kansas Cosmosphere and Space Center. Apollo 14 command module in the Astronaut Hall of Fame in Titusville, Florida. Apollo 15, U.S. Air Force Museum, Wright-Patterson. Apollo 16, U.S. Space and Rocket Center, Huntsville, Alabama. Apollo 17 at the Johnson Space Flight Center. The Apollo Soyuz mission modules at the California Science Center, Los Angeles, and so forth and so on around the world. So there's a lot of history there. A lot of people have got the moon rocks. A little kind of an interesting story. You probably heard of this scandal where somebody actually broke into the Johnson Space Center and stole a whole bunch of the Apollo moon rocks. Now, just you need to remember, it is a felony under U.S. law to be in possession of any of the Apollo moon rocks. So this guy actually breaks in, steals the rocks, wanted to sell them, got caught. The rocks were returned. Unfortunately, once they were in human hands, much of their scientific value was lost, and they're nothing but curiosities. The U.S. government gave away a lot of moon rocks to foreign heads of state. They've all disappeared. There were supposed to be gifts from government to government to be then put in museums, and apparently a lot of those went missing. Now, if you want a moon rock, it's not that hard to come by one, because one of the things we learned from the Apollo missions and also from the Viking and subsequent Mars landers is a lot of the meteorites found here on Earth can be identified as having come from the different planets. Now, obviously, a lot of the meteorites are unknown, could be from Jupiter's moons, could be from Saturn's moons. We don't know. But we are able to identify the ones that come from the moon and come from Mars. And you can buy pieces of these things out on eBay. They're even not that expensive. So if you have a little science class or something and you want a piece of the moon with which to excite your kids, you can get them for 10, 20 bucks. And that's a great way to re-inspire a new generation of kids with a love of science, because that really is gone from our schools. And we need to reignite that love of science if we're ever going to have a chance to rebuild our future country. I had a young person come up to me the other day and say, "Oh, when you were young, you didn't have cell phones and computers and stuff." I said, "No, we had to invent them, so you've got them. What are you going to invent for the next generation?" We'll be back tomorrow here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay safe, stay well. Support Republic Broadcasting, and Aloha America.
Are you against